I don't think it's ever acceptable to wait 2 hours to get screened.
We'd like people to wait less than 10 minutes. Now, that's an ideal goal, and that's a stretch goal right now.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, and it is May 27th, 2016. It's 5:09. Welcome to The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Glad to have you along. We made it through the week. It's time for the big Memorial Day weekend, especially if you have travel plans, time to get out of town and enjoy the first big holiday of the summer. Have a safe one if you're leaving town. Let's get right underway. Plenty to talk about today. We'll start with the overnight intel from the markets. First, from Asia, the stock markets rose modestly higher today. Friday, investors there are still cautious. They're optimistic, waiting for the U.S. economic data and remarks by the Federal Reserve chief later on this morning. Japan's benchmark Nikkei 225 added just about 0.5% this morning overnight. 16,830 was the close. South Korea gained as well. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrials fell about 23 points, or just 0.1%. The S&P lost as well. The NASDAQ down as well. As I mentioned, the economy, the day ahead, Janet Yellen, the head of the Federal Reserve, gives remarks scheduled to talk about interest rates with Gregory Mankey, a Harvard economics professor. Separately, Ben Bernanke is going to be speaking about the economy. You remember Ben, the former Federal Reserve chief. It is a big day with that, and we'll have that first in our conversation this morning with Paul Nolte, our in-house portfolio manager from Kingsview, coming up. But first, some other news around the world. A big story, historic day in Japan today, as President Obama visited the site of the Hiroshima nuclear bomb. It was the first time a sitting president ever visited that site.
We have a shared responsibility to look directly into the eye of history and ask what we must do differently to curb such suffering again.
Mr. Obama says the showcase of his visit there is to showcase the nuclear disarmament agenda of the United States. He and the president, the head of Japan, laid a wreath at the site overnight this morning. Again, the first U.S. president to do that. Also, stay in at the G7 talks in Japan today. The British Prime Minister David Cameron repeating his feelings about the U.K. remaining a member of the European Union.
I think in the end, our economic interest is such that we should stay in this organization. And I've been true to my word.
The G7 summit wrapping up in Japan. President Obama there for that as well. We have a new champion as we close out the top stories this morning. For the third year in a row, the Scripps National Spelling Bee crowned two competitor co-champions this year. 13-year-old Jarrah Hatha and 11-year-old Nihar Jenga. The younger is the 2014 co-champion, the younger brother of the 24 co-champion. The other is the youngest winner of the Bee on record. Each gets a trophy, $45,000 in cash.
I was watching that last night.
Here's the clip, the winning one.
Jarrah Nihar, wow, are you co-champion?
Co-champion, that was on ESPN. Did you get the word? What was the word, Mary?
I have no idea. I didn't make it till the 25th round. I don't even know what time that ended, but I mean, I went to bed about 9:30. I think they were on like the 16th round or so. I said, oh my gosh, this is going to go on all night.
Yeah, it's always very, very cool to watch. Kids know how to spell, at least
these
two.
Unbelievable.
Let's bring in Paul Nolte for our Friday discussion. Paul Nolte is a portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, sir.
We have a word for you today. The word of the day is hawkish. Go.
It's been that way. It's been the word of the week. And the Federal Reserve is preparing the markets for a rate hike either in June or July. We're kind of flipping coins as to which one, and that will be based, I think, a little bit on the British vote for Brexit, which occurs a week after the Fed meeting in June. So there's some thinking, at least, that the Fed will kind of wait to see what happens with that. So that makes July more likely than June at this point. But the Federal Reserve is right now preparing the markets for a quarter point hike this summer.
And we mentioned earlier that the Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen is going to participate in what's being called a conversation today at Harvard University. Less of a speech, more of a conversation. But some of the Fed presidents this week have sort of been doing her work for her. And one of them even said, listen, the markets need to do what the Fed says and not the other way around. I don't know if you heard that.
I did. And, you know, it's kind of funny because the markets have been calling the tune. If you take a look at the Fed had the opportunity last fall. The markets fell apart. They waved on it. The markets were quiet coming into the end of the year. The Fed felt okay in raising rates in December. And then the markets fell apart early part of this year. And that allowed the Fed to stand aside and wait until now, at least, for the next opportunity. If they pass on this opportunity, I think you start losing a little bit of credibility in the market's eyes, I believe. But we'll see how that plays out in the next 6 weeks or so.
We'll continue our conversation with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management coming up here on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. After a two-day 360-point rally, the Dow Jones ended down 23 points yesterday. The broader S&P 500 lost less than a point, while the NASDAQ was 6 points higher. Economic data came in the afternoon better than expected, easing investors' fears about a fragile recovery. The market is being helped by rising oil prices, but that's bad news for drivers headed into the busy travel season. Gas prices have risen above $2 a gallon in every state for the first time in nearly a year. As its losses deepen, Sears is exploring alternatives for some of its top products: Kenmore appliances, DieHard batteries, and Craftsman tools. The retailer has not ruled out the possibility of selling one or more of those brands. And PayPal is reducing the number of mobile operating systems supported by its flagship app down to just two, Android and iOS. The PayPal mobile app for Windows Phone, BlackBerry, and Amazon Fire operating systems will be discontinued on June 30th. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 521. Welcome back to the opening bell. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen is at Harvard University today, 12:15 Chicago time appearance, 1:15 Eastern time. We're on with Paul Nolte today, our Kingsview asset manager, portfolio manager in-house. Paul, you mentioned the Brexit vote coming up. The markets seem to be steadying themselves, at least over the past few weeks. Is there a potential danger here of the Fed doing this in June before Brexit? It seems like the formation of a perfect storm if something goes bad with Brexit.
There is a rising possibility. If you take a look at the odds of a rate hike June versus July, July is slightly ahead of June at this point. So I think market participants are expecting at least the Fed is going to hold off and allow the vote to go through and then decide what their best course of action is. And that's something that the Fed has done now over the last year, very different than historical norms. The Fed is looking globally. They have a dual mandate of inflation and full employment, but they have sprinkled in a lot of comments about the global economy as part of their rate decision. So I think they will hold off here, and if they do decide to go, they'll go in July.
It was surprising to me to hear St. Louis's Fed president say that he thinks the economy is at full employment. So all of those people who may still be looking for a job, that's probably bad news.
It's bad and good news. You know, you want to have full employment. You want to have people employed that want to work. But you want to take a look at how they're getting paid and how much they're getting paid. So we take a look at wage growth as really more of a driver for retail sales and overall consumer spending. Wage growth has been growing at a very slow, very slow historical rate. So, again, it's good that we're employing a lot of people, but it doesn't look as though the wage growth is really where it should be in order to get the economy going much above 2-2.5% growth.
What is what has to happen for that to change, that situation to change?
You know, I think at least you're going to have to get some type of fiscal policy. You're going to have to get some type of spending by the government to get bigger projects going, encourage companies to spend on plant and equipment. We're noticing capital good orders falling off, durable good, and especially investments by companies really falling off. So what a lot of companies are doing with their cash is they're increasing their dividends, buying back stock, but they're not reinvesting back into the business. We'd really like to see that pick up because that will create much longer-term, you know, cycles positive cycles for both the economy and corporate America.
We know that you're very heavy into bonds. That's the safe place to be. Is that what should we be doing, I guess, is the better question, ahead of a rate increase to prepare our portfolios?
You know, the interesting part of that is bonds, even today, with the rally that we've had in stocks from the February low, bonds are still ahead of stocks year to date. The anticipation is that the Fed will raise rates, but it will be more of a one and done. So again, much lower volatility, stable cash flows from the bond portfolio. We see some opportunities certainly in the stock market, but again, overall, stocks are pretty fully priced here, and bonds give us a good balance off of the very volatile stock market.
Before we let you go, we want to talk about something we had on our program yesterday. If you're listening, folks, we had talked about this new idea of green investment, green bonds. And we couldn't ask the person we had on because he couldn't give us investment advice. But, Paul, you certainly can. This an area of good investment for people to look at, and that the investing in clean energy, that sort of thing?
You know, again, it depends. It certainly, you have to take a look, as with any investment, you have to take a look at the underlying credit. So some of those, the bonds are backed by governments. That's fine. You're going to be fully covered there. Some of them are backed by corporations. So you have to take a look at the underlying strength of the individual balance sheets for the companies. And how are those bonds going to get repaid? Is it from cash flow from the project, or, you know, how does that all work? So, again, it's going to depend on the specific issue, but certainly this is a newer area. We've seen it in the stock market for a long time, social investing and that type of thing. We're starting to see it now in the bond market. But, again, as with stocks, you need to take a look at the bonds, the underlying bonds, and see if it's a good investment to make.
And a good reason to call Paul Nolte and have him help you out here. Paul, what does a portfolio manager do for Memorial Day weekend?
Rest and relax and enjoy the sunshine for a change. We're enjoying the summer weather for once here.
Oh, great. Well, have a safe weekend, and we'll catch you back here on Friday of next week.
We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
All right. Thank Paul Nolte, Kingsview Asset Management. You can go onto their website, kingsview.com/WGN, and get Paul's weekly notes, regular notes, to help you out with your own portfolio advice, absolutely free of charge.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Earlier this week, you remember we talked to the AAA about plans for travel. What, 39 million people are going to be on the roads? So 2.5 of those million are going to be on the planes headed out of town. So where are the hot places to go this week? Orbitz, the Chicago-based travel company, has put those together for us. And this morning on the program, we want to welcome in via Skype Janine Tornatore of Orbitz. She's with us to discuss this. So, Janine, give us the rundown. Where's the best places to go, the busiest places to go?
Yeah, well, when we look at the top booked destinations on Orbitz, Las Vegas is our number one hotspot for Memorial Day weekend. That's followed by Orlando, Miami, Chicago. We have Orange County, Los Angeles, San Diego, Washington, D.C., New York, and San Francisco. So what's interesting about this list is that four of the top 10 destinations are actually in California. So it looks like this weekend a lot of people are looking for that warm, sunny destination to kick off their summer.
And then in the middle of that whole mix is Chicago. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, Chicago is every year on our top 10 list for Memorial Day weekend. Of course, you know, with the start of festival season, it's the first weekend for fireworks at Navy Pier. All the lakefront beaches officially open over the holiday weekend. And of course, Bike the Drive is kind of a big draw for people coming into town. So, you know, there's good reason that it's on the top 10 list. It's really the big kickoff to everything that we know is fantastic during the summer in Chicago.
What is fueling the rise in the number of people traveling? Is it low cost for everything?
Well, we've seen, you know, steady decrease in the price of airline tickets since the beginning of 2016. And as we get into summer travel, we're not, you know, that continues to remain. We're seeing the airfare year over year for Memorial Day weekend is down on average 8% to our top destinations. Hotel rates as well down 6% over the holiday weekend. Although when we look at hotels for the rest of the summer, hotel rates are up. And I think that is a signal of strong demand for summer travel this year.
Well, as people do get ready to hit the skies or the roads, wherever they're traveling, especially the skies, there's this TSA thing that's sort of hanging over everybody's head. What can Orbitz tell people about preparing for that and making that a smoother event?
Well, the good news for Chicago travelers is that we've seen over the past week, it looks like things are getting better at Chicago O'Hare and Midway airports, which were a couple of the worst in terms of TSA lines over the last month. You know, we looked at for the long holiday weekend, what are going to be the busiest airports in the country in terms of travel volume to give people just a heads up on where you can expect to see some of these big lines. The busiest airport, according to Orbitz bookings for the weekend, will be Los Angeles International. Chicago O'Hare comes in at number two, followed by JFK in New York, San Francisco International, and Denver International. So for travelers heading to those airports, you know, getting there early is really the critical piece. The recommendation is still arriving 3 hours early now for domestic flights. And my advice as well as just having traveled to some of these airports in the last week is, you know, pack your patience, but also make sure that whatever you can get in your carry-on that you're going to need in the next 24 hours, make sure you have that in your carry-on bag. Also, make sure you program your airline or your travel provider's customer service number into your phone. So in the chance that you might miss your flight because of these lines, you know, you have a really easy access to try to get yourself rebooked as soon as possible.
And then as we look forward to the rest of the summer in terms of air travel, Chicago really stays above all of those other cities, doesn't it? Still all summer long, a popular destination.
Yeah. In fact, when we looked at airfare bookings from June 1st through the end of August, Chicago was actually our number one booked destination for domestic travel. So it's going to be a busy summer in Chicago. And I think travelers are, you know, going to see that that's reflected a little bit in prices here. You know, we're seeing that for the holiday weekend in Chicago, hotel prices remain relatively flat year over year. But overall for summer travel, we're seeing hotel prices in Chicago slightly up.
You follow this all very closely. You're probably an expert in all of this. Is it just because we all have more money to spend that we might be traveling more, or what else might be at play this year that's got us all with the travel bug?
Well, you know, according to a survey that Orbitz did of summer travelers, you know, budgets are remaining fairly steady year over year. On average, most travelers said they plan to spend $1,500 or less on their summer travel. So I think people are really looking where they can find the best deal this year. And also people are really looking for those drive destinations with gas prices, you know, still remaining very, you know, steady. People are looking for places that they can drive regionally and get the most for their money. I think Chicago is one of those destinations in the middle of the country here that people really find a lot of value and find a lot to do for their money. You know, when we look, you know, just in terms at a kind of national picture of what's going to be big this summer, you know, there are a couple things. A big one is it's the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. So around the country, whether it's some of the smaller national parks that you may be able to drive to or some of the big ones like Yellowstone National Park, you're going to find a lot of commemorative and celebratory things happening in these parks. And I think that's going to be a big draw and a big piece in what people are deciding to do this summer is looking at some of these big events happening around the country.
How does Orbitz get the final figures for its stats that it puts together? Do you survey airlines, all of the above, people?
So a kind of when we look at our most popular destinations and our pricing trends year over year, these are based on Orbitz.com bookings. So we look at airfare bookings and hotel bookings, you know, year over year for these figures.
Janine Tornatore is with Orbitz based in Chicago with their annual list of the most busiest places, the best places that people are going for Memorial Day weekend. The list again includes Las Vegas at number one, Orlando is number two, Miami number three, Chicago number four, Orange County, California number five, Los Angeles after that, then followed by San Diego. You can find more, of course, at Orbitz.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. 548 on the futures markets this morning. The Dow is pointing up just a little bit, S&P, NASDAQ as well. Let's find out what's happening on the commodities market. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. As we look back at the grain trade yesterday, soybeans, July contract hit $10.98, the highest spot price in September of 2014. But when it didn't break through the $11 mark, it ended down 5.75. Some profit taking took over. July wheat ended up 15.25 at 4.81.25. July corn up 3.5 cents to settle at 4.08.25 a bushel. The exchange lean hog futures rose as much as 2% yesterday, rallying to the highest level in a week on gains in pork prices. Most active July hog settled $1.45 higher at $81.27. And the live and feeder cattle futures also gained yesterday in technical buying and short covering ahead of the long holiday weekend. Sales of fed cattle in Kansas and Texas at about $125 per hundredweight followed trades last week of $130 to $132. A national pork supplier promised yesterday to investigate abuse allegations at one of its Nebraska facilities after an animal rights group released an undercover video. The Animal Defense Legal Defense Fund released the footage yesterday. The facility, owned by people we've known for years, the Mashoffs. They are the largest family-owned pork production business in North America, based in Carlisle, Illinois. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Have a wonderful holiday weekend as well. Still having a hard time deciding whether or not it's going to be pork bellies on the grill or beef or cattle. I'm not sure yet. I'll make the decision as we get closer into the weekend. But at the beginning of the program, we told you about the spelling bee, the Scripps Howard spelling bee, the two words that caught the co-champions by, they just couldn't do it. And I doubt that anybody here might be, but let's bring Mary back in because she was also in. Also our production assistant, Bennett Wakenight, who's on the mic. Bennett, do you even want to try to pronounce these words?
You know what? I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Bennett was probably like a champion.
No, these are really
the exact opposite, Mary.
Okay, let's try the F one.
The F one?
No, but he's going to pronounce it for you, or try to pronounce it for you.
One second. Mary, take a shot at it first.
Okay.
Well, let's have the computer spell it.
Feldenkrais.
Okay, that's how Google pronounces it. Feldenkrais.
Feldenkrais?
Yeah, do you want him to say it
again?
Can I have the
origin, please?
Feldenkrais.
The origin.
Yes.
What do you mean the origin?
Where is it from? Is it a Latin word?
Question.
Is it a French word? Is it Greek?
It's a trademark that refers to a system of aided body movements.
Okay. What is the origin?
I don't know the origin. It looks like it might be German to me.
Okay. Say it again.
Oh, Feldenkrais.
A Crayer.
Do you want me to give you the big horn on that one?
No, I'll try it.
Okay.
Okay. Felden. I'm going to go with something weird like a PH. P H okay F F E L D E N C R A Y E with one of those little asterisks on the top like a French accent aigu.
Okay, is that it?
Yes.
Wrong.
Oh,
that was the exact spelling.
Is that it? You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
with the accent aigu?
It's Felden.
Without the accent.
Oh. It's F-E-L-D-E-N.
Hey, I had that right. That's good.
K-R-A-I-S. Feldenkrais.
Oh, Cray. Right. A.
Silent letters.
Oh,
killers.
Gotcha.
So the next one was, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. It looks like Gesellschaft, but again, let's have Google pronounce it for us.
Gesellschaft.
Oh.
Gesellschaft.
Okay. And I don't know what the origin is, Mary, but it refers to a type of relationship.
Sounds German, too.
All right, I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay, go, Bennett.
G-E-S-E-L-C-H-A-F-T.
Oh, very close.
Ugh.
Very close.
That was really good.
Yeah. Mary, you want to try?
I'm going to add, go with the G as well. E-S-S-E, two L's as well. L-L. Shaft. Ooh, boy. S-H-A-F-T.
No. Okay. Yeah, Bennett was the closest. You just needed another L, Bennett. It's GESELLSHAFT.
So close.
Yeah.
And
it's a tough
word.
S. Yeah. You know, these kids, if you ever sit and watch the spelling bee, the words are just an amazing. They must sit and read the dictionary.
Well, that's what they do. They memorize.
Is that it?
They have to. I mean, they have to memorize, but they have to know all the origins, because when you have a French word, it's certain things are silent as to a Latin word, and then these words change origin. You know, they start as this and they end up, you know, Latin or Greek or whatever. It just, if you listen to them, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. And their parents sit in the audience and, you know, it's like, oh my gosh.
It really is like the Olympics for spellers. It's a huge deal. And, you know,
stressful.
It is. But again, they're co-champions this year. They're both 13. One of them is 11, one of them is 13. One of them is the younger brother of one of the other champions. So.
Yeah, and I saw the brother in the audience watching
the
whole time.
It could be genetic. Who knows?
No, it's the parents pushing the heck out of them. Come on.
Mary Vandeville in traffic will be with you all morning long. You'll get us out of town safe and sound. Bennett Wakenight, thank you, our assistant producer of the show today. That is the opening bell. We're off on Monday. We'll be back bright and early on Tuesday.